The scripture from today is from Luke 6:27 through 38. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do the good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And on judging others, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back.
Thanks, Peggy. And Teresa, thanks for picking out that song. That was fun. And my own personal motto is, if I can't sing on key, I sing really loud. No, don't. Oh, me. This week's lectionary gospel is a continuation of last week's sermon. Remember, it was called in Bible, the Sermon on the Plains. Remember, blessings and woes. People would be blessed and then people would have woes. Blessings to the meek and to the have-nots, and woes to the mighty and to the self-satisfied. I'm finding that the older I get, the more I am drawn to reading history. I guess because I find that I have lived so much of it, I want to find out what happened when I wasn't paying attention. Reading about stuff that happened 7 centuries ago makes my 7 decades sound not quite so old. And if we read history and pay attention, we must admit that history is basically the story of tribalism. It's mostly the story of my tribe can whip your tribe, is it not? That's the world that Jesus found. The tribe of the Roman Empire had whipped the tribe of the Israelites and would do so again in decisive manner about 40 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. The whole story of the New Testament was a story of God's attempt to end tribalism through the gift of God's only Son. Think about that. For God so loved the... Yeah. God was in Christ reconciling the... And then in the revelation to John, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Those wonderful words set to such beautiful music. Question. How has that worked out for us so far? You know, even the wars fought and the blood spilled in the name of Christ and Christ's church are multitude. Even now, we cannot all come to the Eucharist, Christ's table, together, can we? There is an ecumenical group who has gotten together to decide how can we all possibly come commune together, and they haven't reached that yet. There are still sisters and brothers in Christ who cannot or will not come to the table with us. Today's passage, I think, is a radical formula for ending tribalism. First of all, embrace your enemy. Anyone can love their friends. Embrace your enemy. And sometimes we find that our enemy of the minute is closer than we thought. I know that Emma and Caleb love each other. I have seen them be so loving with each other. But like sisters and brothers, sometimes they fight like cats and dogs. Enemies are enemies not because they are wrong and we are right, as much as we would like to think that. Generally, enemies are enemies because they are different. Now don't get me wrong. There is evil in the world, and we must combat it. But we must never confuse evil with different. You remember recently when it came out in a sermon and Gina was so, she wrote it down on a piece of paper when I asked for ideas to create that we would become a diversity center. That instead of separating people by their differences, we would figure out some way to bring us together because of our differences. I am announcing today that Gina is organizing at this very moment the first annual diversity conference to be held here at our church. And this is the first time Gina has heard of it. Oh, I'm sorry, my friend. That's what you get for having a creative idea, though. And we're going to do that. We are going to do that. And that is one way for people who have imagined themselves as enemies can realize themselves as friends. So embrace your enemy. Give yourself away. That's the second way. That's the second way that we can defeat tribalism. In so much of human history, it was what's mine is mine and what's yours is up for debate. give yourself away. Listen to this. To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your coat as well. Give to everyone who begs from you. And of him who takes away your goods, do not ask them again. And as you wish that people would do to you, do so to them. Can you imagine how hard those words were for Jesus' audience to hear? Can you imagine what a different place the world would be had they just listened and heeded them then? The good news, the really good news, is that it is never too late for reconciliation with God. We are being taught through 1,000 commercials a day, literally, that we are to become greater consumers. You know, there's been a big controversy recently about how the all of the data that is gathered on Facebook is shared in such a way to attempt to guide us in a certain consumer direction or a certain political outlook or a certain way of life, that information is manipulated. I've seen it for myself, haven't you? I have looked at something on eBay. Now, yeah, I'm on eBay way too much. But I've looked at something on eBay, and then within 30 seconds, I click over to Facebook, and there it is on my page. I don't even want to know how they do that. We are living in such an exciting age, and the transfer of information is becoming so rapid that literally 2 billion people, over 1/4 of the population of the planet, is on Facebook. Wow. That is a wonderful thing. It's also a wonderfully scary thing used the wrong way. We are being taught that we are to become better consumers. Jesus teaches us that we need to become better providers. I know that the words in this passage sound outlandish. If he hits you, really? You want me to take more of that? If he steals my cloak, really, I'm supposed to give my coat? If I'm asked to walk 1 mile, I'm supposed to go 2 miles? God, that's a little radical, don't you think? Yes, it is. And it's time that we take a radical look at our calling as followers of Christ and our relationship to our sisters and brothers on this blue marble. So, embrace your enemy, give yourself away, and finally, and this may be the hardest one to do, put your judgmentalism aside. Oh, man. Judgmentalism is both self-perpetuating and contagious. Think about it. If you are part of a group that judges others in ways that are less than charitable, that decision made as a group can perpetuate itself, and it draws other like-minded individuals to that group. And so soon is built a tribe on one idea of judgmentalism. Whether it be race or any other division, that's how it happens. But you know, the really graceful news is, the news that is full of grace is that so is acceptance self-perpetuating and contagious. If your group is open to new ideas and new people, if you welcome them in and enfold them in your arms, that will perpetuate itself in your group and it will be contagious to those outside your group. That's what I hope, and I know that we are here. So just how does FCCC buy into Jesus' radical formula for ending tribalism? Our diversity center and our first diversity conference is going to be a good beginning. Expanding our notion of giving ourselves away. I don't want to put the heat on you here, but everyone in this room who has done something outside of Sunday morning that is connected with this church, just raise your hand. That's most of us. Yes, it is most of us. Ann and James didn't raise their hand, but I see them at the soup kitchen all the time. They just have more humility than you and me. Expand our notion of giving ourselves. And then make sure that all around us know that all are welcome here. That is your job. That is the primary job of evangelism. It's not grabbing somebody and saying, have you met Jesus and you need to see Jesus in the way that I see Jesus. No. Evangelism means sharing the openness that God was in Christ reconciling the world. And then finally, realize that there is a great future in our past. Amen.